veterans. I got to share communion with Levi and Allison this morning. We've been talking about it this weekend. What it means to share communion. What it means to remember. I think one of the richest times I ever had in the time of remembrance and communion was in my time visiting elders in personal care homes, when one of the privileges I had was to do communion with these elders. And some of these men and women weren't able to speak anymore in later stages of dementia and brain deterioration. And yet there were some of these symbols, some of these moments of remembrance that would all of a sudden come back crystal clear. And I remember one time a man crouched over in his chair and we shared some of these truths about communion and just talked about the symbols. It was at a point where we weren't able to have the cup and the bread, but we were able to talk about them. And out of nowhere, this man that did not speak said, "He has done so much for me." Those are the stones of remembrance, a little bit about what we're going to talk about this morning. Oh, we got a new remote, so we'll learn how to use it, but it's pretty simple. I figure we have a little bit of extra time this morning because we don't have to drive home after the service for lunch, so Pastor Greg says, well, I can maybe use that time up with my sermon. No, I'm just joking. I get just as hungry as you do in anticipation for lunch after the service. That is just part of the life, but I invite you all to stay for the meal after. Lots going on this week. Lots going on. We started off with watching some of the U.S. election. I'm sure many of you have had a few discussions that have surrounded that. I have lots going on at camp this week, and it seems that in the midst of some of these things that whenever I speak, it seems like some of the heaviest days in my life. And it was a very busy week. We had lots just unexpected come up, and things keep coming up. And I continued to have this in the back of my mind, remembrance. What does that mean for us, for me, for us gathered here today? Then we had a big bomber win yesterday. I don't know how many of you were watching the bombers, but we had a big win. And tomorrow we stop in remembrance of remembering our fallen brothers and sisters who have gone to war. We wear these poppies, we see them around our community, and I figured that it was fitting to talk about remembrance in Scripture this morning. These poppies and these distinct gravestones that we see of soldiers who gave their lives in the midst of battle, soldiers who are currently deployed across the world for country, for family, for friends, for freedom. War is not an ideal. There are many atrocities, many injustices that happened and are still happening in the world around us because of war, because of the fallen world that we live in. How humbling it is to stop and remember in the midst of that. How humbling and important it is to remember what is lost on both sides of war and pray for all involved. We pray for peace, and we're thankful for the peace that we are privileged to have here in this country. Jesus says that in him you will have peace, that in this world you will have trials and tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Stones of Remembrance is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be talking about it from the perspective that we see in Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 10 and 20 to 24. That isn't the whole story, but it gives us a summary of what happened. And before we do that, I invite you to bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can gather here in freedom to stop and remember. Remember a multiple of things today. Lord, thank you for this time that we can stop and remember the greatest sacrifice in all the world, and that was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for all sin. Lord, that by the blood of your only Son, we are forgiven. Lord, as we call on you, as we come before your throne of grace, it is by faith, it is by grace that we are saved, not by all of the things that we can do or accomplish, but by what you have accomplished. So today, Lord, I pray that you would lead this conversation in these words that you have given, God. In your name we pray, amen. In my short life, sometimes as poor as I think my memory is, there are things that I remember. There are things like becoming a Christian when I was 4.5 years old. I remember moving to different houses as a little guy. I remember that first fish that I caught. I remember different jobs that I had. I remember the first vehicle that I drove, and I was far too young by legal standards to do that. But it was an old 5-speed Mercury Topaz. And I was a happy guy. I remember funerals of some of the people closest to me. I remember weddings. My wedding. I guess that's one I better remember for a little while. Yeah. I remember friends parting ways. I remember sights that I've seen around the world. I remember favorite meals. I remember restaurants. There are many things that we tend to remember. But within these memories, there are deeper things that we remember and we internalize. There are deeper moments and markers in our lives that we remember and that ingrain themselves in our soul. And those are what we want to talk about today. One of my favorite things to do, and I mentioned it a little bit before, one of the richest moments in my time in the personal care home ministry was sharing communion with elders. But also one of the most rewarding times was talking about memories. As some of these minds would deteriorate, but there were very clear, vivid memories of those markers in life that meant the most. Some of those markers would involve how they came to Christ, how they came to a new land because of persecution in the country of their origins. There were many memories to find comfort in, and even as we looked at these, there was maybe a melody of a hymn. Just a simple melody of a hymn that would resound and ingrain itself in life. A scripture verse, something that was memorized many years ago, that would come back. Those that stick with a person the majority of life. Now, why did I call them stones of memory? I called them that because they're more than just remembering what to pick up at the grocery store, or maybe what television program we watched the night before. These are markers. And I want you to think about these major markers, these stones of remembrance in your life, as we now dig into our scripture passage. And if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn to Joshua chapter 4, and we will begin reading at verse 1 there. And this is a portion of scripture that is written in story form, so it's very easy to follow, but there's some very wonderful details that we can take with us today as we move through this passage. the 12 memorial stones from the Jordan. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest stood firmly, and bring them over to where? Over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God, into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord had said to Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and they laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they're there to this day. For the priests bearing the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded to Joshua. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set them up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the peoples of earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. This is our story that we're talking about today. Joshua has now assumed leadership of God's people. Moses has brought them to this point, and at that point where they were about to cross over into the promised land, there's hesitation under Moses. They look into this promised land and they figure, this is not a land we can take. The spies come back and they say, this is full of giants. This is full of people we can't conquer. Well, they can't. They can't by themselves. But now Joshua has assumed command. God is with Joshua, and God promises victory over this promised land as they're passing through. All the people must cross the river Jordan, led by the priest bearing the Ark of the Lord. The Ark of the Lord is what is showing this is the presence of God with them. This must have been a huge swath of land that was dried up, because people were commanded to stay quite a distance away from this Ark of the Covenant. This was the presence of God with the people. God cuts off all that water in the midst of this high-flowing time, in the midst of this high-flowing river at this time of the year. He cuts off the water, both the water falling down in that rainy season and the waters that are flooding at that time. This was a wide river. And the ark stays in the middle till they have all passed. Each of the 12 tribes is commanded to carry a stone from around the ark to the other side. But then, Joshua, he also takes 12 stones and sets them up. The 12 stones from the 12 tribes are set up as a memorial in Gilgal. So once they pass over, this is where they lodge. He was commanded to set those stones up. The people proclaim God's might, provision, and faithfulness, a monument for generations to come. The command. Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodged the night, that this may be a sign among you. So we've established this story. We've established this story and this setting of where the people of God have come. And it may be a small story, but it signifies something very large in the overarching theme of Scripture. And they echo even in the Psalms, as we read earlier, bless the Lord, O my soul, praising God for what he has done, forgetting none of his benefits. Benefits. I had to kind of look up the essence of that word. Why use the word benefits? And as I started to look at that word, I realized this is about kindness that is shown. This is something that is an advantage that has been done or has been performed. God will fulfill his promises. That's what he's talking about. I think the people knew what the command was about even before Joshua gave the reason for why we are taking these stones out from the midst of the river. Now remember verse 5. It says, take it up on your shoulder. These are good-sized stones. It isn't, okay, go run back and get yourself a few stones, pick it up, and run over there. When you put something on your shoulder, you're carrying something significant. You're carrying something that, okay, these are good-sized stones. The kind you can damage your boat propeller on coming into shore. That's what we're talking about here. Those, you've got to kind of work them out. But anyway, we're not going to get hung up here. Pun sort of intended. What we want to note is that this remembrance, this sign, this recognition is given as a command for a reason, but why? We talk about the reason for the stones. We talk about the symbolism of the stones. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord, your God, forever. As we ponder that command that Joshua gives, we are almost without breath brought into the symbolism of what that command means. For the people of Israel, for God's people, for us, we start to think about that. I can't help but think, as these stones are set up, I can't help but think of that image of an altar. An image of an altar. An altar was set up mainly for sacrifice, giving to God. It was an altar of remembrance and what God has done. And this is an altar set up in the midst of what God is doing and what he's going to do. That's what makes the second pile of stones so interesting. Now, I don't know if we all caught that at the beginning, but the 12 tribes are commanded, so each man is commanded to pick up a stone from amidst where these priests are standing, to pick up a stone and set that up at Gilgal, where they lodge for the night. But then in the midst of that ark, where that ark is standing, Joshua goes and he sets up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. That is beautiful imagery. We don't know exactly the time when it was there or how many of the people were passing by the stack of stones. But the reality was, The people were seeing this stone in the midst of what God was doing. Seeing those stones, those reminders, in the midst of what God is doing, as they are going towards this unknown land, this unknown of what was to come, they are seeing this stone, pile of stones, in the midst. I'm sure that many of us are now imagining this scene. We're given all of these different images. We're given all of these reminders on kind of what it looked like. And we start to imagine the scene, the sights, the sounds, maybe the smells. The bottom of a river probably doesn't smell the best, but these smells would be coming over all the senses of these people as they're passing over, thinking of what God is doing right before their eyes. This miracle that is happening. And I imagine the elders of the community of Israel taking it upon themselves to share their wisdom to the younger generation. I can imagine those kids, those younger ones, asking, what's going on here? This is amazing. Who is this God? And they're bending their knee, and they are doing exactly what has been commanded, and they're explaining the symbolism of what these stones mean for the people of God, that He is mighty. I start to get this picture, and I start to think of the different people groups that would encounter these stones in those first days when they were set up. And for some reason, I was brought to a scripture passage in my mind that was kind of going on. The scripture for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. There were people in that land watching this large group of people, maybe coming towards them, seeing them set these stones up and seeing them just as complete foolishness. This little group of people is going to come into our land and going to conquer us. Where are their weapons? Where, what, there's women and children with them. What are they thinking? God is in their midst, and He is showing to these generations, they are going out in faith on what God is going to do. This is humankind's wisdom versus God's wisdom. We have the cross as the same type of symbol, yet it is vastly misunderstood by many. The cross is misunderstood by many because they refuse to see the wisdom and story, saving story of our Savior. Pastor Warren Wiersbe, he says it this way, that those who have been called by God's grace and who have been responded by faith realize that Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. This is why it is important that we continue to look at the wisdom of God instead of the wisdom of man. Look at the wisdom of Scripture. Look at the signs of remembrance throughout the Bible that lead to Him. We have these reminders throughout Scripture, and there are many. And I just picked a few this morning that we can talk briefly about, and we recognize them quite quickly as Christians. And these are also a part of our life that we can share with others. We can share about these stones that we have been commanded to be a part of. We see the Nativity, where Christ is born as a humble baby in a stable. We see the rainbow. This is God's promise. It will be a sign of God's covenant with the earth. And however it has been misused in society around us, this is God's promise that He will not destroy the earth by water again, but as we see that rainbow in the sky that God gives us as a sign of remembrance, we are to remember that God's covenant with his people. We see Jesus there healing the blind, touching the eyes of the blind man. We think of the miracles throughout Scripture that point us to who God is, showing his might, showing his faithfulness. These are stones of remembrance in our lives. In Scripture, we see the cross on the hill, but we also see the empty grave. Jesus died on the cross, but he did not stay hanging on that cross. He went into the grave and was raised to life on the third day, in victory over sin, in victory over death. We see one of the most powerful images in Scripture by Jesus getting baptized. Jesus getting baptized. This is the one area in Scripture where the whole Trinity is identified. The Godhead, three in one, is identified in this stone of remembrance that we are to share with others around us who question our Godhead, three in one. That the Holy Spirit is descending in a dove, that the Father is speaking out of the heavens in that moment, and that Jesus, in the flesh, yet fully God. We see the Last Supper as communion, as a sign, as a church this morning, we remembered what was accomplished on the cross. These are the signs of remembrance that we are called to as Christians. We are commanded that we are to remember. Now let me ask you again, what are those stones of remembrance in our lives that we hold to? I'm so thankful for Scripture. I'm so thankful for God's word of truth, that in the midst of my own trials and errors, that I can succeed, not because of my many accomplishments, but because what God is doing in the midst of those hard times. Our life's stones of remembrance. And I'm sure that you can think of a few. As we start to think about this imagery, we start to think about what God has done, we start to think about the stones of remembrance in our lives. What are your stones of remembrance? I'm sure that some of you can claim some of those same stones as I do, those stones in Scripture that we've talked about. There are many others. Now that I have us thinking about this, where is that remembrance coming from? Is those things that are remembering, are they pointing to God? Or are they pointing to the things that we accomplished on our own, that we did, that we figured out? As Joshua challenged the people, there is a wisdom and logic of society around us that wants us to look at success and accomplishments as the world sees them. Becky and I have been watching this show about seeking gold. So they go out into, they're in British Columbia, and they're searching for gold. There's a jackpot that they're searching from hundreds and hundreds of years ago that the Spanish found, and that also the indigenous people of the area knew about, but then there was silence over the area for many years. And this obsession for gold consumes these people. They need to find it constantly. They're running into false testimony of this person or that person. They lead them down this path, and then it's a complete dead-end lie. And then they're going down dead-end paths, literally, up mountains and to different places, and it's more dead ends. They're navigating rough terrain, and then there's the small chance that they'll find this treasure, and it's going to fulfill their wildest dreams of wealth. It's going to fulfill their desires. It's going to bring peace to all their questions, and life will be good. I think you see where I'm going with this. Our life does not need to be spent seeking the gold. Our life doesn't need to be spent seeking the gold because we have been given the treasure. We have been given the treasure in Jesus Christ. This is how we start to think when we let the wisdom of the world take over. When we're trying to seek and trying to figure things out and trying to tough our way through is the wisdom of the world, and it's just going to keep us seeking and seeking without any real peace. Israel is out there in the desert. They're wandering and wandering for 40 years before this happens, before these stones of remembrance, before they cross the Jordan River. They're wandering. And they're wandering because of disobedience. They're wandering because they didn't put their faith in God alone. And they're wandering. Then they are ushered into the promised land. These stone monuments are more than just look at what God did in parting the waters. This is about God who is faithful, God who is mighty, God who is merciful, and the legacy that lasts forever is not about whether the rock pile is still standing today. Seeking out whether those rocks are still there, what a precious task if all of a sudden deep down in the layers of earth you find this pile of stones. But it's about more than that. What do these stones mean? Why is this a legacy that lasts forever? Why does Joshua say that this will be something that is passed down to generations forever? This is about recognizing the faithfulness of God and our faith in Him. It's about how the story is told and how our lives are proclaiming those truths, those stones, those remembrances that we have in the Word of God. Now let me ask you again, those stone piles that you've set up in your life, we all have them. These memories, these things that have happened to us, the ones that you're proud of, the ones that you honor, do they honor God and what He has done in your life? Or do they honor you and the many accomplishments that you have? For some reason, never seem to be enough. We like our accomplishments. I like to accomplish things. I like to have a checklist. Check things off my list. But is God in these things that we do? Even in the small tasks that we do in every day. People that are seeing us, people that are looking into our lives, as we look at those things that we remember, those things that we value as so important in our lives, is God being shown in those things? We must discern our value in light of our accomplishments in Christ. Not empty, lonely, and unattainable, but life-giving, restful, purpose to go on. Isn't that an amazing contrast? We think of these things, that some of the things that we go through, some of the really hard things that we go through, and in those places it's very easy to think of those words like empty, lonely, and unattainable. But to think about God there with us, His presence with us in the midst, He sees the rough battles that we're in. And He is life-giving. He is restful. He is the purpose to go on in the midst of seeing these tough battles right in front of us. For these people, they're coming into this promised land. They're setting up these stone monuments. They're remembering what God has done, all of these feel-good feelings, and then they see the cities that they are about to encounter. That is a scary place to be. And you know what? I've seen it in my own life that you're at such a great place with God. Oh, I'm reading my Bible every day and memorizing scripture. I'm in this, and then the ground falls out from under you, and you see what you have to pass through now, and you don't have to do it alone. We can see the battle, we can experience the pain right in front of us, and it looks like it's an impossible journey ahead, but we know that God is faithful in that journey. How are we looking ahead? God's faithfulness is displayed yesterday, today, and tomorrow. May our stones of remembrance bring us and those around us closer to Him. The 12 stones were to be a tangible sign for future generations. Those 12 stones that you see them, you put them there, prompting them to ask, what do these stones mean? This question opens the door for the story of God's power and provision to be told and retold. It's a beautiful reminder that we too should take time to reflect on and remember the ways that God has been faithful in our lives. And He will continue to be faithful in the deepest, darkest of valleys. Whether through answered prayers, acts of kindness, or moments of intervention, recalling these instances, recalling those remembrances in our lives of what Christ has been doing, which He calls us to do, recalling those things brings us into closer relationship with Him, gives us a testimony to those around us. Well, how can that person go through that right now? How is that person even walking around right now? How are they coping with all those things in their life? Through only Christ in them. It is Christ in me. What an amazing testimony that is. I remember even last year watching and being able to be a part of getting to know this congregation and seeing Pastor Craig. I know he doesn't want me to recognize, but this is a stone of remembrance. For him to be here leading in the midst of his trials, in the midst of Jim's cancer, in the midst of the weakness and loneliness of body, in the midst of the unanswered questions, to be faithful to the calling that God has given. You know, those kinds of things point others around to Him. Because we know that we can't do it ourselves. We know that, and yet we still try to hold on, to muscle it through ourselves. We still try to do that. We do not have to. It's a beautiful reminder that we too should take time and remember the ways that God has been faithful in our lives. Many of us think about our legacy. We're designed to think about our legacy. What is going to be left behind? What is our message in our lives that we're sharing with others around us? What is our legacy? God commands us to think about it. It's not about money. It's not about insurances. It's not about financial security. Our legacy is about being intentional. Our legacy is about being intentional with what God has done in our lives, what He's doing in our lives, what He's going to do, and letting that be the testimony of life and light in us. The Israelites were to use the stones to teach their children about God's faithfulness. We are called to pass down our faith to generations around us. Sharing our personal experiences of God's goodness not only helps us to build a strong foundation of faith for others, but also reinforces our own belief. It reinforces our own belief in His promises. It's an encouragement to live out our faith in a way that leaves an impact. Share it with people around. And let God's presence in the midst of the most uncertain circumstances be your rock. In the midst of that river, in the midst of what we are going through, let God's presence, which is those symbols in the midst of that river, let God's presence be that security in the midst of the uncertainty. Let him be your rock. The priest stood in the middle of the Jordan. They carried the Ark of the Covenant until the entire nation had crossed over. Their steadfastness, their willingness to stand there, their willingness to step out, symbolizes the need for us to stand firm in our faith, especially during times of transition and uncertainty. It's a call to trust. It's a command. God's promises, his timing, knowing that he will see us through. For he is faithful. Therefore, we can say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. God, thank you for this reminder this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithful people that recorded these amazing stones of remembrance for us, that it's more than that physical pile of stones that exists somewhere deep in the sand that we know that they set up to symbolize your faithfulness, God. That today we would see points of our life, ways that you have led us, your presence in our lives, as amazing markers of what you have done, what you're going to do, and that these would continue to be our legacy. May